Chapter 9 this morning, Mark chapter 9, and if you have your bulletins, you can take notes on the back of the bulletin today, because if you know me, I'm a teacher. I like to teach the word, so there'll be 3 points, and sometimes there's more, but today's there's three, and we're going to look at this title. This message is All Things Are Possible. Everybody say, All Things Are Possible. All right, we're going to look at Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. If you haven't been here, I have been doing a series on the Gospel of Mark. It's my favorite book in the Bible. Some of you will get that later. I was actually named after the Gospel of Mark, according to my parents, and so it's my favorite book. And we've been going through this chapter by chapter, and each chapter I've been pulling out something that the Holy Spirit puts on my heart. And we've been in this month at Harvest Fellowship Church. What we do every month is, not every month, but the month of October is harvest time that we do here every year. And what we do is, instead of having a revival meeting, what we have is every Sunday we have a guest minister. And so that's a time that I give opportunity for some guys in our house that feel the call to minister God's word, which Mark Ward and Dusty did an awesome job this month in bringing the word. And they, we usually have a theme for harvest time. I usually come up with that. But this year, we didn't have a theme. We just said, okay, it's harvest time. It's always harvest time, so let's just do harvest time. But the Holy Spirit has had a theme throughout all these messages. Dusty kicked us off with a message called Uncomfortable Trust. And if you haven't heard these messages, you can go back on hfchurch.com and listen to them on our podcast. And so that was a very good message about how sometimes when we're trusting God, it can be uncomfortable. Amen. And we've all walked through those times. Then Mark Shell was with us, a good friend of ours who's no stranger to this house. He's from Tulsa, a traveling minister, and he brought a message called The Science of Prayer. Powerful message. I encourage everybody to listen to that as well. And then Mark Ward last Sunday brought a great message out of Psalms 103, telling us about when we're trusting God, sometimes we mess up, and God's done all these miracles in our life, and use the example of the children of Israel, and we forget. And that's why David said, forget not the benefits of God. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves of all that God has already done. Amen. And so today, I was thinking about all that, about trust, and as I was studying Mark chapter 9, I saw this again, this word trust came out. And so we're going to look into this, and it's about a dad who brings his son to Jesus. And so we're going to pick this up, and I'm going to put him up here on the big screen in verse 14 in Mark chapter 9. I'm reading out the New King James Version. It says, when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. And immediately when they saw him, talking about Jesus, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And I want you to know by this time, this is about 6 months before Jesus goes to the cross. So his ministry, his name has been spread throughout all the region. I mean, the best way I can describe it, Jesus is a rock star by now, okay? And whenever he comes into town, people are just thronging him. And people bring in their needs and everything. They want to hear him preach and teach the word of God. And so this is going on that day. And in verse 16 it says, and he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Talking about, what are you and my disciples arguing about? And in verse 17, it says, then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Now, this is something we don't talk a lot about in church anymore, and in today's day and age, and my daughter's studying to be in psychology, and is getting her master's in psychology, but a lot of times we put a big long name on it, explain it away, give them medication, but sometimes things that are happening, and I'm not saying all the time, don't leave here and say all the time, I'm not saying that, but sometimes what people are dealing with is demonic. There's a whole nother realm called a spiritual realm. Amen. I'm not saying everything, but some things are. And this is what's going on in this situation. And I believe what they were arguing about was, well, they were saying, well, if Jesus was here, he could cast this out. Disciples couldn't do anything, but Jesus, if he was here, and then, of course, the scribes were probably saying, like they did earlier in some of the other Gospels, well, he can do that because he's the prince of demons. He's the Beelzebub and all this, because they were calling Jesus Satan. And so Jesus shows up on the scene. What are you guys arguing about? So this is going. Everybody following with me? Trying to explain this as we go along. So, and Jesus says to him, he answered him, and I want you to know he didn't answer his disciples. He answered the dad, and he said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then in verse 20 it says, "Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him and fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood.'" I love that about Jesus, because Jesus there shows his humanity and that he cares for people. Because he asked him, he said, "How long has this been going on?" And often he has thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And everybody said, amen. That's what this father is asking. And then in verse 23, let me stop right there, and I'm going to share something with you, because I'm feeling a pushback. And I'm telling you guys, this is real. But you have authority in the name of Jesus, if you ever come across this, to cast it out in the name of Jesus. It's a real deal. People are dealing with it's real deal today. It's not just in the Bible days, it happens today. I'm going to tell a story, and some of you have heard this before, so if you've heard it, bear with me. But there's other people here that needs to hear this. I came across this in Elk City, Oklahoma, not too far from here, in a little boy about 9 or 10 years old. And somebody at, you know, and I was like, "Jesus, how long has he been this way?" You know, that's what I was thinking in my mind. And here's the deal. You don't have to know how long. You don't have to know why. You don't have to do all the counseling behind it. You just need to know that you can cast it out in the name of Jesus. And I was in this service, and it doesn't have to be in service either. It doesn't have to be in a church service. I was in a church service at the, what's it called out there, the Civic Center there in Elk City. And after the service was over, we had an adult ministry time, and we had children's ministry. And after the children, I was helping out. I was actually an usher. Hello. I'm not even the speaker. I'm an usher, you know. And I was ushering that night, and I knew that God had called me into the ministry. And by the way, you don't have to be called in the ministry. You just have to be a believer, okay? Believer in Jesus. And after this service was over, there was a little boy. They had balloons all over the floor, and they'd had a good time in this children's ministry service. But there was a little boy laying over there on the floor. And I'd asked the person that was leading the children's ministry. She said, "Well, I think he's over there praying." You know, and I was like, okay. And I don't know why. Everybody else was fine with it. But for some reason, the Lord, you know, touched my heart and said, "I want you to go over there and minister to that little boy." So I go over to this little boy, and I'm ministering to him. And I notice that he's just laying there, and he's laying there a lot like this little boy. I mean, he looks like he's dead. If he wasn't breathing, I thought he was dead. And so I just lay my hands on him, and I'm knelt down in front of him, and I grab his feet, and I just start praying over him. And I said, "Lord, bless this little boy. I don't know what's going on." You know, and I was just kind of waiting for him, because I thought he was just meditating, you know, and praying and laying there. And this is when I learned that you can pray with your eyes open. And it's a good idea to pray with your eyes open. And I felt him do like a sit-up in front of me. And I thought, well, he's going to get up, and I'm going to minister to him. And so when I opened my eyes and I looked at him, and I know we're coming up on Halloween. This is better than any Halloween that you've ever seen. I looked in this little boy, and I knew immediately God opened my eyes. All I can say, like he did with Jesus, Jesus knew that this wasn't some physical malady. Jesus knew this was demonic. When I opened my eyes, I knew what I was dealing with was not this little boy anymore, but something demonic. And I was like, "Oh, wow, where is everybody? Where is the speaker of tonight? I need them to come and minister to this little boy." But it's just me and that little boy, and nobody knows what's going on. And I looked, And he immediately looked at me and was like, I'm fixing to eat your lunch. And I'm like, I'm leaving. I'm going home. I'm done ushering for tonight. And it scared me. I'm talking the first thing that rose up in Mark Haney was fright. And then all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, and it was a gift of the Holy Spirit, faith came upon me and a boldness like I've never had. And I sit there and I stared back at it. And it looked at me and it just did this, like this. It was just staring at me, cold stare. And then it started going like that. And I knew immediately what it was telling me, that there's more of us than there are of you. So you better back off. And I said, I remember the first scripture, thank God for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will bring you scripture when you need it. And I said, greater is he that's in me than he that's in you. And there's more with me than there are with you. And I know some of you are looking at me. I say that phrase like a cow looking at a new gate. This really happened. And I knew whenever I said that, this thing looked at me with fright. Like, this guy knows who he is in Jesus. I'm scared to death. Immediately, I said, you got to come. And I wasn't screaming. It was very calm over there in the corner. And I said, you're going to have to come out in the name of Jesus. And immediately, this boy began to do what this happened in Scripture. I saw this in Scripture. What we're reading in Scripture today, this little boy began to convulse and scream. And these demonic spirits were coming out of him. Yes, this happened in Elk City, Oklahoma. It didn't happen in a third world country. And then by that time, we've gathered an audience of other believers. Thank God I had some backup that came over there and surrounded this little boy. And we just prayed, ministered to him, cast these demons out. And I remember there was people, and here's the deal, there was people there surrounding me that were Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, and nobody was saying, what label are you? We were just all Christians in Jesus' name, casting out the demons. And whenever it got done, this little boy got up. And, of course, Jesus, we made sure that he had Jesus in his heart, because you got to, you know, when you sweep the house, you got to put Jesus back in there. And this little boy got up. Nobody told him what to do. He's 9 or 10 years old, and he starts throwing balloons up in the air, running around the room saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And everybody in there, I mean, just the presence of God was so thick. Everybody in there was just weeping and clapping and celebrating because we won a victory. It was awesome. And everybody's looking at me like, and I'm just saying, if you come across it, you have that authority in the name of Jesus to do that. Now, I want you to look at verse 23. Verse 23, it says, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes, telling this to the father. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That's exactly what I did that day when I was sitting right there in front of that, when I saw that. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And the Lord showed up. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, dead, deaf, and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. Amen. 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 Guys, we have victory over the spirit of darkness, and it's real. And it's here, and it's not just, you can't explain it away with psychology and medication, okay? But in Mark 9, verse 23 is our main scripture that I want to look at today, and this is out of the English Standard Version, because I wanted you to see where the, you know, some translation says, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. The dad said, he said, if you can, to Jesus, and Jesus was like this, if you can, if I can. I created the heavens and the earth. I can do this. Then he throws it back on the dad. All things are possible for one who believes. Now I want you to look at somebody and say, all things are possible. All things are possible for the one who believes. Okay, and then in verse, and it says, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? And I want you to think about this. They had cast out demons before, but now they come up against something that they can't do it. And so he said to them, this kind comes out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Everybody say prayer and fasting. We're going to talk a little bit about that here in just a second. All right, I'm going to give you three applications today that I've came out from this text, okay, and that are very important. And here's the first one. Number one, dads, bring your children to Jesus. I cannot stress that enough. Dad, don't leave it up to mama. Don't leave it up to the church, okay? We have. Can Pastor Mark be real with you today? All right. We have some people that come by here. I thank God that they do it. But they come by here on Sunday morning and they drop their children off, okay? Mom and dad need to be in church. Yes. Mom and dad. Yes. Dad needs to be leading the way. Dad, you are the pastor, the priest, and the prophet of your home. Amen. Don't leave it up to mom. Don't leave it up to anybody else. You are the guy that needs to be doing that. Here's a statistic, and it's true. And I believe it was George Barna that came up with this this stat, and they surveyed a lot of Christian homes, and this is what they found out. When dad is a committed Christian along with the mother, the percentage rate of children following the Lord is 75%. When only mom is a committed Christian and dad doesn't follow the Lord, the percentage rate of children following the Lord drops to 18%. I've heard I've been a pastor for 20 years now, and I've heard all kinds of excuses. Well, I don't go to church because that's where all the hypocrites go. Well, join the crowd. We're all hypocrites. You can either go to heaven with them or to hell with them. I want to go to heaven. Amen. We're all hypocrites. We've all been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And dad, you need to lead the way. I've heard stories, well, I don't go to church because all it is full of politics. Well, that's true. I agree with a lot of churches. There are politics. There's been politics here. But I try to get them out in the name of Jesus because we want the presence of God, not politics. Amen? The presence of God is more important than any of the political stuff. Jesus went to church, even though there was political stuff going on in his day. But he still did the Father's work. So don't use that as an excuse. Some of you in here, there's some young guys in here that you're not a dad yet. I can't say this enough. Dads, bring your children to Jesus. Get your kids in church. I thank God for Cameron that Taya married a godly dad. And they're in church. He preached here a few weeks ago at his dad's church, and Taya sent us a picture of Taya and Jarek on the front row at church. Have your kids on the front row. He's on the back row here. Front row at Liberty, back row at Harvest. What's that saying? But dads, bring your children to Jesus. Amen. Have them in church. All right, here's number two. Number two, believing God can do something and having faith that God will do something are not the same. I'm going to say that again. Believing God can do something and having faith that God will do something are not the same. And let me explain this. Mark chapter 9, verse 18, it says, wherever it seizes him, this is the dad talking, it throws him down, he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples, but they should cast it out, but they couldn't do it. They could not. Now, like I said earlier, and I'm going to go back to Mark chapter 6, verses 7 and 13, because I want you to see this about the disciples. They had done this before, and it says, he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. So they had done this before. So what happened? What happened from Mark chapter 6 to Mark chapter 9 that now they can't do it? And so here's the problem. Matthew 17 verses 19 through 20 says, then the disciples came to Jesus privately, and this is telling the same story just in the Gospel of Matthew, and they said, why could we not cast it out? And so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, which is a very small seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So somewhere between Mark chapter 6 and Mark chapter 9, they lost their faith, and they were moving in unbelief. And I'm just going to tell you, we're just like the disciples, how one day we can be so faith-filled and the next day we don't even think God's on the throne. Amen. And that's what was going on. And what I want to call, since we've been talking about trust, what the Holy Spirit showed me when I was studying this was, Mark, that's what's, I'm going to tell you, it's what's wrong with me. It's what's wrong with all of us, is that there are times that our faith is really strong, and then there are times that our faith is really low, and that's what was going on in the disciples' life, and that's what you call twisted trust. I was going to title this message Twisted Trust, but I was like, that's a kind of a negative title, so I'm going to go with the more positive, what Jesus said, all things are possible to those who believe. All things are possible when we don't have our trust twisted. How many of you ever had twisted trust? You better raise your hand, because we're in church, or you're lying if you haven't. We've all walked through it. We've all been just like those disciples, and Jesus was just telling them, guys, if you just have faith. And so, and I'm going to show you how to get faith here in just a little bit. Faith is like a muscle. Look at somebody and flex your muscles on Sunday. Faith is like a muscle. You've got to develop it. It doesn't just come overnight. It's something, it's a daily walk. We walk by faith and not by sight. It's what Scripture says. So it's a daily walk of faith. We live by faith. Faith is a muscle. You develop it over time. And so let me read this to you. Something I found I thought was really good. This was Charles S. Price that wrote this out of The Real Faith for Healing. And he says, the mistake with many is that they confuse Christ's imparted faith with their mental ability to believe. To sit down and repeat, and I want you to think about this, to sit down and repeat, I am healed, I am healed, I am healed, is not only unscriptural, but spiritually dangerous. I admit that such a spiritually unsound method might help a few neurotics, but it would never remove the mountain that the Master said faith would. Isn't it evident that when we have prayed what we thought was the prayer of faith and nothing happened, it must be that what we thought was faith was not faith at all? Did Jesus say that faith as a grain of mustard seed would work sometimes and not at others? Read the text again. His declaration was plain and specific. There was nothing ambiguous about it. It was a clear statement of fact from the lips of the eternal God himself, and who can speak with greater authority than he can. Whenever and wherever this faith is active, we won't be standing around poor, sick folks hour after hour, rebuking, commanding, struggling, and pleading as in the past. When Christ's faith is imparted, the storm dies down and there's peace in the soul. The only sound is the voice of thanksgiving and praise. And that's when we realize that it wasn't our ability to believe that made the sickness go, but that Christ's faith was given. Then it will be morning, glorious morning in our souls. Isn't that good? I'm sorry I didn't click that so you could read along with me. I read it to you. And by the way, my notes are always available if you ever want them. But that is so true. Sometimes we think it's our belief, and it has nothing to do with our belief. It has to do with our faith in him, that he can do it. All right? Now, let me share a few things before we get to point number three. Point number three, I'm going to go ahead and give it to you. Time in God's presence increases and strengthens our faith. If you want to get rid of twisted trust, you need to spend more time with God. It's as simple as that. If you want to get rid of twisted trust, you need to spend more time with God. More time in his word, more time in prayer. Of all the things, this is what shocked me. Of all the miracles that Jesus did when he was here in his earthly ministry for 3.5 years, guys, they saw blind eyes opened. They saw the dead. They saw the dead raised from life. They saw the blind eyes open. They saw the lame being healed. They saw all kinds of stuff. They saw demons being cast out. And the one thing was, when they came to Jesus, they didn't say, Jesus, how do you heal people? They didn't say, Jesus, how do you cast out demons? Jesus, how do you command people that are dead to come back to life? You know the thing that they asked Jesus? They said, Jesus, teach us to pray. They knew, that infers, they knew where the power came from, was from his prayer life. It was 3.5 years, there's a lot of times, and it even starts off in Mark chapter 9 where Jesus took Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus went up there to pray. And they had a revelation, and they saw Jesus with Elijah and Moses, and they saw his robe become sparkling white. They saw this grand stuff. And what Jesus was trying to do to those guys was impart to them, you need to get away from the crowds and spend time with the Father. And he's going to show you things that you've never seen before. And it's going to be awesome. And it made me laugh when this revelation hit me. And here's Peter, James, and John. This is the revelation that Jesus is trying to impart to him. He's done this several times, by the way. Another time it'll happen, another time later on, and they're asleep. Remember, in the garden, they're sleeping. Jesus is spending time with the Father because he's about to go to the cross. And this time, when he's trying to teach them, impart this prayer time, this time of getting away from everybody and getting with God before you go back down into the valley and fight demons, they're up there and they go, dude, I'm going to rephrase this, okay? Redneck version. Dude, this is awesome. Jesus, we saw you with Elijah and Moses, and you were sparkling like white. And here's what we need to do, God. Instead of just being still and knowing that he is God, they want to do something. And so they want to build tabernacles up there. They're like, man, we just want to camp out here. We just want to camp out here, yeah. Well, God's got things to do. He took them up there to have that time of prayer so then they could go back down in the valley and do the kingdom work. Amen? But they're up there just going, dude, let's build something, you know? And then they come back down there and they wonder why they can't cast out demons. It's because of their unbelief, because they're not letting the Lord minister to them and strengthen their faith. So time in God's presence increases and strengthens our faith. And I want you to see what Jesus said to them. In Mark 9, verse 19, he says, he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Luke 9, verse 41, Jesus answered, O faithless and twisted, there it is, that twisted trust, O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here. And here's what I want to just, the simplicity of all this today is this. Our faith becomes twisted when we don't spend time with the Lord. And that's my sermon in a sentence today, if I had to put a sermon in a sentence. I took a class one time, because I never went to seminary, if you can't tell. I never went to seminary and all that, but I took a class one time on how to teach and preach. And luckily, I was blessed with a great, you know, guy that taught the class. He was a pastor himself. And I'll never forget, he got up and he goes, for the love of God and for his people, make a point. Don't just get up there and ramble. And so he said, if you can't take your message and put it in one sentence, then you don't have anything to say. And so that's my message in a sentence is, our faith becomes twisted when we don't spend time with the Lord. We need to spend time with the Lord. Every one of us in here, you have faith, but it needs to be developed. You have a saving faith, okay? You had to have faith to come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You received him by faith, amen? All right? There's what I call a serving faith. A serving faith is whatever God's called you to do, the plan and purpose for your life. I'll never forget whenever I started feeling mine is to be a pastor and a teacher. I know that now. You can't shake me from that now. Now, 20 years ago, you could have, because I was still trying to figure out what I was supposed to do, what my plan and purpose was. And I can remember going around, and God was very gracious with me, giving me lots of confirming words. But I had this insecurity on myself. A lot of it was from myself. I haven't been to seminary, and I haven't done this, and I haven't done that, and, you know, and I have no credentials, and yada, 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 but I feel that God has called me to be a pastor, a shepherd, and I even had another pastor confirm what I was feeling. He told me, he said, you're not called. It's like, thank you, that really ministers to me. He said, you just got an administrative gift. Well, thank you, what do I do with that, you know, and that's a joke, by the way. That really happened, but that really happened. That really happened. And thank God I didn't listen to man. But I still feel God has called me to do this. And I don't have time to get in the whole story, but through a whole lot of situations and circumstances, God had to minister to me, Mark, I have called you, and I need you to receive it by faith. It's by faith. It's not by credentials. It's not by man. It's not by degrees. It's by faith. and I need you to receive it. And that's how the Lord ministered to it finally. He's like, I have given you all, I've sent all kinds of people across your path to confirm it, to let you know that I've called you. Now, son, I need you to stand up and receive it by faith. And I know that sounds cocky and arrogant, but it's not. God wants, there's some of you in here that need to receive whatever that call is that God's put upon you. You need to receive it by faith and go do it. And I finally had to get to the point where, God, you have called me. And I don't care what man says or what anybody thinks. I'm called. And I've got to do what you've called me to do. And so there's that serving faith that you have to receive by faith. How did I come to know that I was called to be a pastor? I started out with little boys and rural rangers. It was like Boy Scouts. And then it grew from there. I didn't just start out here. It grows and develops. That faith grows and develops. Everybody understand that? Faith is like a muscle. It grows and you've got to exercise it. It grows and develops. And then there's what I call, so here's three more points with my 3 points. All right. There's a saving faith, there's a serving faith, and then there's what I call a supernatural faith. And we've all been there. I've been there. Where you get to that point where, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And then that's where the Holy Spirit shows up. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There is a gift of faith that the Holy Spirit will give you. Some people have just, they've been in the Word so much, they have this naturally strong faith. And you might come up against somebody like that and you're just like, man, they're a man of faith or a woman of faith. I wish I had their faith. Well, let me tell you something. They've been through some stuff. They've been in prayer and they've been in the Word to have that. Jesus had to do it when he was here and he was the Son of God. He had to spend time in prayer to have that kind of that supernatural faith. And when you're in that supernatural faith, when you need it, the Holy Spirit will be there to give it to you. Just like that day when I encountered that demonic presence, the Holy Spirit was there. So there's saving faith, serving faith, and supernatural faith, and the Lord is there to give you all three. And everybody said amen. All right, here's Mark chapter 9, verses 28 through 29. This is the disciples again. It says, and when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? So he said to them, this kind comes out by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And there's, you know, the time in God's presence is what increases and strengthens your faith. There is something also Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, I believe it is. He said, when you fast. He expected us to fast. When you fast, you know, there's some people, I think it's the Jewish people, will fast on Tuesdays from, you know, sundown till the sundown of the next day on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And but during that time, you can't just fast for physical reasons. Yeah, there's a lot of health benefits to it, but the spiritual benefits, it makes you more sensitive to the Holy Spirit is what it does. And I've had people ask me, well, I can't explain it. It's not really even taught in the Scripture. But what I believe is your spirit man resides right in here. But that's also where your appetite is. I got a big appetite too. But that's where your spirit man resides. And when you go without what you're wanting in the flesh, your spirit man can grow. Okay? That's all I'm going to say about that. That's a whole other message about fasting. But fasting, there's a lot of benefits, not only physically, but also spiritually as well. Here's another scripture, how faith comes, Romans 10, verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And then the last one is Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. And whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And that is the message today. Okay? If you want to get rid of twisted trust, spend time with God. Amen? Spend time with him in prayer. Spend time with him in the word. And even start incorporating fat. Maybe you've never heard about fasting. Maybe you need to start incorporating fasting into your walk with God. And everybody said, did everybody learn something today? Okay. At this time, we're going to have some water baptisms. So I want Sarah and Audrey to come up here. And as they're making their way up here, I want to do this. I want everybody to bow your heads in here this morning. And since I just finished that message. I always do this every Sunday. Just I know Jennifer's going back and getting Audrey and everything, but I do this every Sunday after I minister God's Word, because I want to make sure that everybody knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I do this because this message gets broadcast on the radio next Sunday. I've had several guys that work out in the oil field that don't even come to church here text me and say, "Hey, man, I appreciate you, your ministry, your church putting this on the radio, because I work in the oil field and I don't get to go to church with my family, and so appreciate you putting the word out there on the radio." We also put this online as well. But I just want to make sure that everyone here knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So what I'm going to do is lead you in a prayer. And even if you do know the Lord, I want you to repeat this prayer to me. Say, "Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me." And everybody said, amen. And if that's the first time you've prayed that prayer, your next step is what we're fixing to witness, is following the Lord in water baptism. That's your next step of obedience. And I have the honor and the privilege. We have baptized, I don't know, I quit counting. We've got a record back there in our church office. We're well over 100 since we started this ministry back in 2000 here in Leedy, in my hometown. And it's just always a blessing. It's one of the highlights of being a pastor, is getting to baptize people. But today we have Audrey and Sarah. So if I can have you both come up here and stand up here, I want to show you off. Yeah. Come, she's ready. I'm telling you, this girl's been ready since she got here. Come over here by Pastor Mark, okay? Yeah. wait a minute. Do you want to say anything? Okay. I put you on the spot, Sarah Jean. Sarah, she graduated a year ahead of my daughter, isn't that right? 2 years, okay. Every time I see Sarah, I always think about the fun times we had winning state in slow pitch softball, because this girl can slow pitch softball. I dare to say she's one of the best that's come out of Leedy. She could always put the right height on it, because it'd make the batter so they can't hit it. Because, see, if you throw it flat, they can really hit it. But she had the right height and always landed in those. She could place that ball. Man, she was awesome. So, anyway, and I get to baptize her today. This is awesome. But Audrey, do you want to talk into the microphone? No, I got mic number one. Mic number one. Do you remember what you told me last Sunday? Can you tell them that when you came up and grabbed my coat and say, "Hey, Pastor, you want me to say it then?" All right. I was up front up here, and I love Adley and Audrey, Travis and Jennifer's little girls, because I always know, no matter what kind of day I'm having, and some Sundays, you know, pastors show up. Pastors, we're not all spiritual all the time. You know, we have bad days too. But no matter, whenever I show up on Sunday morning, these two girls come up to me and give me a hug. And it always makes my Sunday. And I got to talk about the Bourne family here for just a second. But I'll never forget Travis and Jennifer when they started coming to church here. Because these two girls have grown up in our church. And we had just spent several thousand dollars on our nursery back there. And Jada had told me, she said, "Honey, we need to really fix up our nursery. It needs some help." I said, "Okay, well, what's, you know," and got with Dusty and figured out what we could do budget wise, and we fixed it up. And the Sunday that we got it done, it was so good how God is, how God works. The Bourne family showed up, and they were just like, "Your nursery is awesome." And we was like, "God, you're so good." The nursery. And so God works through the nursery too. And they have grown up in the church. Well, anyway, I've baptized Adley. And then Audrey, she came up to me last Sunday, and she grabbed a hold of my coattail. And I just thought she wanted a hug, you know, and I turned around, and she goes, "Guess what?" And I said, "What?" And she goes, "I'm a Christian." She says, "Christian?" "I'm a Christian." I said, "Really?" And I said, "What does that mean, Audrey?" And she said, "It means that I asked Jesus into my heart." And how old are you? She is five. Did y'all hear that? She is five. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Can you tell them how old you are? They didn't hear you.
Five.
She's five. And you're a what? Say Christian.
Christian.
I just love that, how she says that. And so it's going to be, I told her, I said, I took her up there this morning, because she's been chomping at the bit. All the family's here this morning, and Tammy was here early, and I had to take her up here and let her feel the baptistry, that it was warm. And I said, "Now bless your heart, you're little bitty, so you're going to have to swim to Pastor Mark over here." she's excited about all this. But then there's Sarah Jean. I told you about Sarah Jean and her pitching. She came up to me last Sunday and said, "You know, I was baptized." How old were you?
Six.
Said, "I was baptized about the same age as Audrey." And she just said, "I just feel that I've had this tug on my heart from the Holy Spirit that I just need to do this again." And I told her, I said, "You know what? There is nothing wrong with that." I said, "I was nine whenever I have it wrote down in a children's Bible in my office. I was 9 years old when I was baptized, and then I felt like I needed to do it again at the age of 23. So Sarah's going to follow the Lord in water baptism, even though both of them are saved. They know Jesus. But I told Sarah this was going to be a monumental, pivotal day in her life. And so we're excited about this. So I'm going to have Patricia's going to come up here, and so that parents and everybody can take pictures, and we're going to go up here and do these water baptisms, okay? Yeah. Who's going to go first? You don't want to go first?
You want to go first?
Okay. So Sarah's going to lead the way and show you how it's done. All right. And then Sarah may have to help me get you baptized. Can y'all hear me out there? Okay. Oh, it's nice and warm. Thank God for heated baptistries. And I get to stand behind it and not get wet. Okay, here comes Sarah. I just need you to turn around and sit on that bench right there. Okay.
No,
you just about baptized yourself too. All right, scoot up just a little bit. I just noticed I didn't take my watch off. Okay, yeah. All right. Sarah, upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to have you stay in here and help me with her. Come on. It's warm, isn't it? Yeah, you're going to have to dog paddle over here. There you go. Okay. Can you sit? Okay, now hold your nose.
Can you hold your nose like this?
Yeah, Sarah's going to show you how to do it. Yeah. Now put the other hand right there. There you go. All right, you ready? Audrey, upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God is good, and all the time, her little heart was just pitter-pattering. Amen. God bless you. We're going to dismiss with that right there, okay? Y'all have a blessed week. Love you guys.